Now, good morning. We have the reading of the scripture, and is it going to be up there, Mark? Okay, good, because I'm going to read it from there because I asked you to do it in King James, because that's the one I'm most familiar with, and then I printed the wrong one on my phone. So, let's follow along here, please. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 6:9-13. And from the Old Testament, 1 Kings 8:54-60. Now as Solomon finished offering all this prayer and plea to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord where he had knelt with hands outstretched toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he had promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his rules, which he commanded our fathers. Let these words of mine, with which I have pleaded before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God, day and night, and may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day requires, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. This is the reading of the word. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to give a thank you again on behalf of the rescue mission where I work. I want to give you an update. Before that, I want to say thank you to Pastor Josiah for allowing me to come here and share with you as God has led me. Also, is Kathy Stoddard here? Kathy and her family have been coming to serve at the mission on their own, separately from the church family. And I just love that. I love to see how people take it upon themselves to come out after having an experience at the mission to see that it actually touched their hearts and moved them to more servanthood. Melissa Reeker, is it? Or Reacher? Reeker, that's what I thought. She was the one that reached out to invite me to come today, and I don't see Melissa. She usually stands out above the crowd for me. John Smith. John and Lorna and Liz, all working now to facilitate you coming as a church family on Sunday evenings. That's quite an experience, and I'm looking forward to having you back. April is the next time, about 3 weeks from now, I think someone said. Thank you. Now, the title of the sermon this morning is Don't Just Sit There, Pray. I have a really irreverent way to introduce that phrase. I read it in a bathroom stall. And it's never gone away from me. It has stuck. It was actually at a Christian retreat center in South Africa, of all places. I went there on a mission trip. And I've always remembered that. And God does remind me that. Of that. Sometimes I just get complacent and I just, you know, just kind of nothing. And he says, pray, talk to me, listen to me, let's have a conversation. So I encourage you this morning with the words from the Lord, different stories. Hopefully you will be encouraged to be even more fervent in praying to God. Anytime, anywhere. I've always taught my kids and grandkids that you can pray in the bathtub. When I was a teacher, the kids really, what? You're crazy. You can pray while you're riding your bike, you know? So I say anytime, anywhere, but even above that, all the time, everywhere. And I just encourage you to do that. So I have good news about the mission this morning, and I want to share that with you and suggest that we offer prayers of praise to God. He is answering prayers. We're celebrating 60 years this year. So May 1st or 2nd will be our 60th anniversary actual date on the calendar, but we're celebrating all year round. We have a baptism coming up for three of our life recovery residents. We've been blessed to be able to have baptism services at a church in Rockford, Maywood, Evangelical Free Church. Several of our staff members attend that church, and so we've got a good connection there. And many of our residents attend that church. Now, as they are further along in their program, they're allowed to choose a church after going visiting different churches with the group, then they can start to choose a church that they really prefer. I have testimony cards here. I'm sorry I was slacking off this morning, and I meant to hand those to you as you came in. So please check out. There's a little table out there. There's all kinds of testimony cards. So they are covered. The front is a resident or a graduate, and on the back is their story. And so it's just a little 4x6 card. You can use it as a bookmark, Bible bookmark. Put it with a magnet on your fridge to remind you to pray for that resident, or however God calls you to pray. We have a graduation ceremony coming up. We call it Restoration Celebration. I just call it graduation. It makes all the sense. May 7th, it's an evening, and it's at the mission. You are invited. We try to pack out the room. It's a traditional graduation ceremony in that we have a processional and a recessional. Our residents that have been with us for about a year can don a cap and gown. Many of them never did go through a traditional graduation service. They didn't graduate high school or college, and so this is a really big deal. And we have live testimonies as well as videos. It's really an inspirational evening, and afterwards we have a little reception so you can talk to the graduates and hug their neck or whatever, however God leads you to bless them as they continue their journey outside of the mission after spending so much time with us. And we have a church thank you luncheon coming up, and hopefully you got the card in the mail, but I brought one just in case, Pastor, because we want two of you to come and be part of that church thank you luncheon. We want to recognize that the local church has been the backbone of Rockford Rescue Mission. So we are doing that on June 13th, and it's a luncheon at the mission. So another thing we celebrate is in our crisis department. I mentioned our life recovery, where people go through the program. In our crisis department, that's people that are coming just for a meal or just to stay overnight. Some of them for more of an extended time, but they don't apply to be part of it. There's no strings attached there. And our crisis department is when you come to serve a Sunday meal, that is folks from our crisis department that you will be ministering to, and those from the public that are just coming in for the meal. They also come in for the chapel service. We recently had a college group come in and serve as a worship service. They had a complete band, and they were singing, and our crisis guests, who many times are pretty quiet, were really hooting and hollering and raising their hands and praising God. It's very interesting as we minister with our crisis guests. Many of them know God, but they have stepped away from their fellowship with God, one reason or another. Everyone has our own story, just as those in the crisis department. And so we're helping them to get renewed in their fellowship with the Lord. Others don't know the Lord, but they're getting a taste, and they're interested. And we give out Bibles regularly, and we encourage people, open that Bible. God will give you faith to believe in Him if you open His Word and ask Him to speak. I always tell them, Ask God to speak. If you mean it, he will. You may not like what he has to say, but it's always for our good. So I want to remind you that the mission, 60 years old, it began with prayer. So back to our sermon topic, praying. 60 years ago, people were praying. There were pictures in the newspaper of men sleeping on the street in Rockford. That was a new thing for Rockford at that time. And churches got together and came out of a meeting saying, we don't know what to do, but pray. That was the best answer. They prayed. And as they prayed, God worked out all kinds of circumstances. He spoke to a man in Chicago as the people in Rockford were praying. He talked to a pastor in Harrison, Illinois, who knew that man in Chicago, had asked him to help him with a man at his church who had a drinking problem. And he was mean when he drank, and the family was suffering. Pastor tried to intervene, didn't work. He turned on the pastor. Pastor asked Ray Stewart, could you come and help me? I know you've been through this. Ray was a reformed alcoholic. He had become a believer. God healed him of his alcoholism. He was helping at Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago to help other guys like himself. And this pastor in Harrison had him come help him with a man. As they were working through that, Ray said, I've been kind of not settled anymore with what I'm doing at Pacific Garden Mission. I just feel like there's something more God has me to do. And the pastor said, Rockford could use a mission like that one in Chicago. So as people were praying, God was moving. We don't always see God move. I like to liken it to a swan. Have you ever watched a swan just gracefully glide on the water? Have you ever looked under the water? I did one time, and those flippers were going like this. They were working. God is working when we don't see it. And we think God has given us a no answer, or he just didn't hear me. And yet, God is always working. And sometimes it just takes time for God to work out what he wants done through your prayers. Ebenezer, I just found out you're over 150 years old. I'm going to guess there were some prayers that came out 150 or so years ago. And they were in German. God knows all the languages too, right? And just consider you are here as a result of someone's prayers over 100 years ago. God is always working. My family, I prayed that I could have a Christian family. I prayed that I could have a Christian husband first. And God answered in crazy, fun ways. That would take me a whole other day to talk about that. He always gets nervous when I start talking about it because we got so many details of ways that God put us together and has sustained our marriage 43 years this coming May. And it's been hard at times, but God is always at work, and he's so faithful. So the Lord's Prayer, we read, and I was going to just break it down as I've done other times, but I just want to mention a couple things from the Lord's Prayer. The first word is our. And for this, the Lord reminds me, yes, I do pray for myself, but I pray in the context of the church. Not just me, because just me, I can be really selfish, and I want to be part of God's big story, his story. So our prayers should actually be able to be prayed by other people and with other people within the church. So just consider that. Father, we have the privilege of calling the Almighty God, the creator of everything, our Father. And Abba is one of the words, and that translates as daddy. That's a closeness. That's an intimacy with God. We have that privilege. So be careful. I know when we say the Lord's Prayer, often it can get to be rote, you know. We just kind of take those words for granted. So that's why I like to break them down sometimes and just emphasize something here and there. And I think of the scripture, 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And God can give you peace in that, that he calls you his child. Even if the world despises you, puts you off, he will never forsake you. And then, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He is immensely greater and higher than we are. Isn't that good to know? As we become closer to God, we run the risk of losing our reverence for him, along with the familiarity. Been there, done that. Jesus reminds me often that his name is to be hallowed, sanctified, holy. And we need to affirm this in our prayers. Yes, Jesus is our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. He is our God, the Almighty, to be revered always. God is God, and we are not. It's a good thing to remember. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His ways and thoughts are way beyond ours, and he knows best. I remember when I graduated high school, and I was given a Bible by my Aunt Lou, and she put a quote in it, or it was actually the card that came with it, and it said, God gives the best to those who leave the choice with him. I thought that was good, and I carried that along with me all these years too. That's been a few years ago that I went to college. And then always, the Lord really has been sharpening my mind on this, especially lately. The part where it says, give us this day our daily bread. I think about our physical needs. Yes, we're supposed to ask God for those. But not just instant healing necessarily. We'd all like that. But he also gives us wisdom and walks through the answers with us. So be careful not to pray over that plate of French fries and say, God bless this and bless my body. It's kind of a, God gives us wisdom. And he calls us to be holy as he is holy. So he's working with me on that. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray for ourselves and each other. And I will say, there is the book of Hosea. I don't know if you've gone through that book on your own or not. It's not a very big book in the Old Testament. But it's about the prophet Hosea. God called him to be a picture to the people of Israel of how they were treating God poorly. He told Hosea to marry a prostitute. And that was to show the people what it looks like. That's not right. And there were more lessons within that. But the coolest thing for me is that God put a hedge of protection. You've heard that phrase probably, may have prayed it before. Hedge of protection around his wife, Gomer, when she was headed back into that lifestyle. I like to tell people, God doesn't make us be good, but he can put a hedge of protection around us and around our loved ones as we pray for them. He won't make our kids be good. He doesn't make us make the right choices, but he reminds us we're loved, and again, he will put circumstances around to guide us different directions. God does that. And he is doing that at the rescue mission. He's doing that in my house. And I always tell people, please pray that for me. If you see that I'm doing something or saying something that doesn't seem right, pray for me that God will guide me in the right way. If someone walks in here, she's improperly dressed, rather than, can you believe that? Pray for her. I was that teenager that wasn't well-dressed in church. And I'm so grateful for someone that pulled me aside quietly and spoke with me. And that's just another way that God works through us. I went ahead and went through the Lord's Prayer anyway, didn't I? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Jesus ended this prayer with his strong statement of confession, agreeing with God, for us to agree with God that he is God, I am not. It is all about his glory. Sometimes I have been guilty of seeking my own glory, my own power, my own kingdom. Kind of get my eyes set here instead of up in the heavenlies. But for God's glory, I exhort you today to pray big, outside of yourself. If you do have a physical ailment, ask God to use it for his glory, to further his kingdom, to show his power however he wants, and leave that with him. Praying for the rescue mission. Rather than just a generic prayer, God, please end homelessness, ask God to show you some pictures of people. Pray specifically. Pray for the staff at the rescue mission. Pray for more staff. We need more people that know God, that can call on God for wisdom and help to do his work. King David prayed. He asked God, or he told God, he wanted to build him a temple. And his son later, King Solomon, was the one to build that temple. God said no to David. But with it, he gave him a promise. I'm going to build you a house. And he meant his family. I am going to give you a family. And God honored that. Years later, that temple was built. It was not overnight. But God, David was a man of prayer. He prayed 3 times a day, the scripture says. And I have a feeling it was probably more often than that, but it was at least those 3 regimented times every day that he prayed to God. And he prayed for his son. 1 Chronicles 29:19. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. God said, no, you're not to build it. So he made sure that all the works, all the items were there to start it. He had it all ready and handed it over to his son. But he knew ultimately it was God. He wasn't putting it all in his son's lap. He gave it to God. And then, when King Solomon finished building the temple, is when he acknowledged God to the people. And he let them know, this is all God. All glory to God. So I encourage you to pray. Pray big. Pray beyond your family. Pray for those things that are hurting you. God cares about every little detail. But believe him to do something big through them. Not just take the cough away, but in the midst of it, do something good. Build my faith. Build someone else's faith. Use it somehow. Let's pray. Lord, we pray with reverence and with gratitude this morning. And we ask for you, Lord, to use us. Help us, God, to pray big and to trust you that you have a lot of work to do through us. You've already prepared things in advance for us to do, Father. We ask, God, for you to use us. And we thank you for sending your son Jesus to show us who you are and even more to die in our place. We thank you for raising him to life and raising us to life in him. Father, you are so good. Thank you for this church family, God. Bless each person in here as they increase their prayers and see how you work. In Jesus' name, amen.